least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, just help us tonight, dear Lord. We're going to again, Lord, teach down through this portion and then give, Lord, some very, very practical application once again as we're taking the month of January and focusing on having a heart for organization. And Lord, I pray that you'd get us off to a good start. I feel like we have here at the church. I love the feedback I'm hearing from individual families as they're taking the challenge in these areas of organization. And Lord, thank you, dear Lord. In the midst of doing all of this, you're allowing us to also complete a project here at the church. And so just, Lord, we thank you for your grace and help and strength, and continue to give us a good rest of the month, a good start to 2017. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, good. Am I all right on this, or is Brother Josh, so far so good? We're good. Okay, all right. I'm not going to think a thing about it. I'm handing it off now. All right, here we go. Interesting portion of Scripture. Young people, young adults. By the way, those of us that are a little bit older, let's be reminded of some important things. Verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. You know, I was trimming out some of the painting jobs that got done, and I decided I better check the baptistry. And I went in the baptistry, and it hadn't been trimmed out, the final trim on it yet. And I was over there in the corner where the shelves are. I don't know how many of you have been in the entrance. You open the baptistry door, and you look to the left, and it's dark, and there's a shelf, and you can hardly see anything. And I'm looking at a couple little little splotches of wall paint that barely touch the ceiling. And I begin to have this very rational and logical conversation with myself concerning who is ever going to see that. No one's ever back here. Does it really matter? And, you know, it's fun when you're trying to rationalize doing something that the Bible teaches you not to do, how the Holy Spirit just kind of jumps in on that conversation and says, oh, sure, fine, that's not a problem. Why don't you start doing that in your life? Why don't you not worry about what people can't see or people might not notice? And it took about 10 seconds of the Holy Spirit kind of going like this, and I went and got the ladder and got up there and properly did the job. Let me just give you a great principle in life. Listen, folks, I don't believe there's such thing as a little job. And you know what? Well, nobody will know. Well, God will know, and God sees. And according to this portion of Scripture, the Lord warrants his trust in us concerning future responsibility based on a lot of times us doing the least. If we're not faithful in the least, how can he trust us to do the much? And then we see the portion of Scripture take this principle and shift over to finances. Verse 11, if therefore you have been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Now watch this, because my dad used to teach this. One of the ways the Lord makes a decision on whether or not we can be trusted with eternal things is how we handle temporal things. And you know what? Even in this idea of money, if we cannot properly handle unrighteous mammon, how in the world could the Lord entrust us with the true riches? And so the challenge for tonight, and again, is in this matter of let's do a review here at the beginning of a new year, and let's make sure that we're properly organizing our finances and properly doing a good job. And by the way, again, month of January, great time to just stop and hit reset buttons in our life. Much of what I'm going to tell many of you, of course, is just amen to what you're doing, reminders. I would encourage each and every one of them. By the way, young couples, this will help you so much if you'll listen. And, you know, don't get defensive, okay? You know, sometimes people look at Bible instruction as some type of a personal attack. Bible instruction isn't a personal attack. It's not there to hurt you. It's there to help you. And if you'll build your life on Bible principles, you'll find out that it'll weather the storm and it'll be successful in life. I've seen so many times people that just say, you know, well, this book's old-fashioned and it doesn't apply to us today, and I'm going to do what's right in my eyes, and they'll take that same philosophy into finances. And you know what? Before long, they are in a mess financially. And yet I've watched other people that have just said, you know what? I'm going to follow the precepts and principles of the Bible, and they build their financial house upon a rock. And it even weathers those unexpected storms that come, and we all face financial unexpected storms in our life, and it weathers the storm. Listen, I believe the Bible, and I believe that it applies to every area of our life, and the Bible has much to say about money and finances, and this is a good opportunity for us to review some things here at the beginning of a brand new year. Organizing your finances. Now, let me just kind of go down through here, and I'm going to give you a lot of information. You can go on the website, you can listen to the message later on, you can see our men in the PA booth, and you can order the copy of this, and it would be a good thing. I'm going to give you almost more information that you're going to be able to remember everything in a short amount of time. This is one of those things I'd listen over and over to, and I'd double check, and I'd go through and checklist and take the time to do this. Let's first of all, in our reviewing, in our organizing of our finances, let's review our financial income. This is a great time of year to look back at the previous year and review your financial income. Folks, listen to me. Finances is very simple, all right? Let me give you very simple how finances work. There's a certain amount of finances that come into your life. That's called income. It comes into your life. Then, of course, there's finances that have to be put out because you're paying for things and all of that. And then, of course, the idea is to get the income coming in so that it is larger than the output that's going out. You want more income coming in than it's going in. This may sound basic. You'd be surprised how many people are just amazed that they don't have enough money. Have you ever written in what your income is? Have you ever written down what your output is? What you want to do to get in a healthy situation is to have enough income so that that is larger than the output that's going out, and then exhibit good financial responsibility in caring for what we call the abundance. And that is what is left over. Once you have a month's worth of income comes in and you pay all the bills for that month, if you're in a good situation, there is some abundance. And then using good Bible principles as far as managing that abundance to maximize the potential, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in it, and put yourself in an increasingly better situation. Now, that's the plan, and it sounds so simple, okay? But you'd be surprised how many people will live 50 years as adult people and fight that and never get it figured and never get it right. And so I'm going to take you through Bible principles tonight that will help you in this matter of your finances, all right? Now, number one, let's look at our financial income. Now, in 2016, did you consistently generate financial income? Did you consistently generate financial income? Now, if you didn't, you need to ask yourself some questions. Because I'm going to tell you, one of the hardest things in the world to do is to try to catch up from gaps in your life and gaps in the year where there's no financial income. Yeah, but we had a windfall and we had some extra money come in. And so I decided that I just would not work for 3 months. After about 1 month, you probably found out that all of that you thought would last 3 months, it goes out a lot faster. When you don't have anything coming in, things go out a lot faster that way. And you ought not to ever have that mentality. Okay, God said this, 6 days shalt thou work. You rest on the seventh. That doesn't mean six, you just ignore that if you happen to get ahead. People will get ahead, and sometimes God will cause something, an act of generosity, and instead of allowing them to get ahead by continual working, they decide they're just going to take time off, go through that, and then within a few months, they're right back where they were, struggling once again. Now listen, again, this isn't an attack, this is a help. You've got to get rid of that mentality. Let me tell you where that mentality comes from. It comes from a spirit of slothfulness, okay? Listen to me. If you did not consistently generate income, you need to start asking yourself some honest questions. Now, folks, the Word of God will take us to task sometimes, and that's okay, all right? It's going to shine a light and expose at times character flaws in our life that we need to be willing to take a look at, and by the way, change and fix so that we can take better care of our family, live under less stress and pressure. Because, listen, married couples, financial pressure takes a toll on a marriage. It takes a toll on a family. And so, all right, here's the honest question. If you didn't consistently generate income, could it be that it's because you need to develop a biblical work ethic? A biblical work ethic. Proverbs chapter 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in her summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Now, it doesn't take many extra days off or extra days sleeping in before, you know what, poverty comes knocking at the door. Now, just young men, listen to me. Get this mentality. God created you to go to work. Okay, God created you to go to work. 6 days a week to go to work. Well, I got a job that I only have to work 5 days a week. Well, God says you ought to work 6 days a week. By the way, come on over to the church. By the way, get a bus route. By the way, go soul winning. By the way, take a project on for a widow. Go help somebody in your family that needs help. You know what? Don't listen. You get the mentality. Listen, this is what America's done. You know, it used to be 6 days a week, one day rest. Then it got to be 5 days a week. Now people are trying to figure out, get 4 days a week, 3 days a week. But the problem is they want those extra days. I mean, good night. I worked so hard in the 3 days I worked that I ought to just be able to lay around the other 3 days. You're making a mistake. You're going to dig yourself a hole. Just go to work every day. Go to work every day. 2 Thessalonians, for even when we were with you, this we commanded, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now, them that are such we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Proverbs 18:9, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Proverbs 12:27, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Now listen, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but folks, you'd be surprised how many financial problems just come from this matter of slothfulness, okay? You're not the exception to the rule. Everybody else isn't required to work, and you are so smart because you figured out a way to exist without working. Listen, you're fallen into an anti-Bible mentality, okay? And you've seen your saints understand that if you're retired, I'm not chewing you out for not working. If you've worked hard your whole life and earned that, and physically can't we get that? But I'm going to tell you this too. If the Lord ever allowed me to retire, I sure wouldn't sit down and give up. I'd still do what I could do every day. Because, you know what, for one thing, people that just quit and stop, you know what, pretty soon you'll be going to their funeral. And that's just the honest truth. Now work. Go to work every day. Work hard. Give your boss an honest day's work. Now, we're talking about income, okay? Well, preacher, I'm going to work, and I'm working hard to generate income. But it seems like the income, it's not as much as I need it to be. Well, ask yourself some questions. Is there any way to increase my income where I now work? A lot of times, some people first thought they have is to change jobs, and that's not always a bad idea, and sometimes that is the solution to the problem. But you know what? If you sometimes, right where you work, if you'll look around within the business, the company, the corporation, there may be opportunities for advancement. It may be time to ask for a raise. And by the way, if you're a hard worker, they'll want to keep you. It might be time to sit down and ask for a raise. Is there movement within the company to make to a more profitable position? A lot of companies, you know what, before they'll offer a job to the outside, they've got to offer it to the inside. They post it, take a look at it, and see. You may be able to make more money without ever having to move employers. Should I consider another job entirely? Sometimes that's the answer. Would additional training, this is important, or education help me increase my hourly worth? Sometimes right within the company that you're in, there are certain jobs that you cannot bid on or be considered for unless you've got this course. And a lot of times, it's not a 4-year degree. It may be the six-week course. It may be this training. It may be this thing you've got to take on safety. You know what? You are wise to take advantage of any amount of education that puts you in a better light to be considered for advancement and wherever you're at. I know this is practical stuff, but folks, we need practical stuff. If we are unwise in unrighteous mammon, how can we be trusted with true riches? And so ask yourself these questions. How many hours per week are you now working? Should you increase the hours or look for another part-time job? And so these are things to consider when you're looking at your income. We're going to look at other things, but we're now just talking about the job that you now have. Okay, do you have a tendency to be slothful? It just takes a little sleep, a little slumber to lead to poverty. Is all the time slotted in your schedule as work time producing maximum earning potential? And so now I will tell you this, folks, be careful. Sometimes people think, well, you know what, I'm just not making enough on my 40-hour week job or 45-hour week job, so I'm going to go get another part-time job. And if you're not careful, you'll start working so many hours that is all your life becomes. I would say this, in most instances, you need to learn to work smarter, not more. Now, sometimes for short periods, I can see that. If you have to, you need to, that's fine. But folks, I'm going to tell you something. I have watched Christians time and time again in this culture just get caught up and become a slave to a clock, and they're working 60, 70, 80 hours a week, and they never have time to be involved in their family properly, in any work of the Lord. I mean, they're just working and sleeping and eating and they're not living. And so, you know, you have to make decisions for your situation, but I'm going to throw some things out for you to consider, all right? Now, all right, preacher, what about outside of my income from my job? Number two, first of all, consider, are you generating enough income through the job that you're now working? And if not, take a look at these things. I'm not going to go back over them. Number two, consider creative resourcefulness. Now, what's that? Creative resourcefulness identifies ways to make money with minimal investment of time and overhead. These, sometimes I call them side jobs, earn extra money that can go directly towards needs, extra giving, or debt reduction. Is there a way to increase your income? We talk about the idea of changing job. We talked about the idea of developing some marketable skill. Again, you can go to trade skills training sometime and learn a specialty. Listen, who is working in your plant that's doing real well? What job are they doing? What training did they have to qualify for that job? Get that training. Young men, this is the time to do it. Well, preacher, I'm working a full-time job and then schooling too. Yeah, you're young. It's good for a man to bear the youth. A yoke in his youth, okay? If I can work a job and a half and still go to Bible college every day in my 20s, then you can too. You can work hard to pay the price now so that your life will be easier later. Do it in your youth, okay? And so, you know, again, you just got to be willing sometimes to pay the price, all right? And so develop a marketable skill, trade skill training, maybe an apprenticeship of some time. By the way, Jesus was a carpenter. Okay, for 30 years, you know what he did? From 12 to 30, he just went to work. He worked, first of all, as an apprentice underneath Joseph, his father figure in the home. And then later on, became a carpenter himself. And listen, I want to say to those of you that are raising sons, place your sons in trade skill apprenticeship opportunities while they are in their teenage years. Get them involved and invested in learning something that they can long-term make a living doing. Now, they may not do that with all of their life, but if they have it, if they ever get into a pinch, they can fall back on something that you can make a living doing. You know, we had some of our guys, younger guys, out there laying the carpet, and Brother Jeffrey and Jonathan came over. And you know, the honest truth is, I remember when they were teenage boys. And you know what? They started working for my brother Bob and my brother David. By the way, I remember David as a 19-year-old, went a year to Bible college, went out to mom and dad's in Maryland. Think about this. And you know what? When he was out there, there was a man in the church that was a carpet layer. You know what David did? He apprenticed himself to that man, and he learned a trade. He brought that back to Indiana with him, And then he used that to support his family and eventually go into that business. And you know what? Bobby learned that trade from him. And those two guys start teaching some other guys. And you know what? Listen, what I'm saying is if you've got something that you can go to work on that's in demand, that people are looking for, you can always fall back on it. And you know what? You can make a good, livable wage doing those things. And so place your sons in trade skill apprenticeship opportunities. I want to go off right now, and I'm trying not to. I am so sick and tired of parents raising lazy boys. I'm just sick and tired of it. I'm tired of you making excuses for them. I'm tired of you covering for them. I'm tired of you letting them sleep in till noon every day. And they get up to be 19 and 20, and they won't keep a job, and they can't keep a job. And you know where it started? It started when they were six, and you wouldn't make them pick their room up. And you know what? It started when you let them sleep in on Saturdays instead of get a job. It started when they finally did get a job, and it was hard, and they came home and cried, "Mommy, into your apron." And you said, "Well, you don't have to go back, sweetheart, you poor little thing." All right, let's raise some young people that are set up for success, not failure. By the way, it's not just young men that we ought not to raise lazy. You young ladies, it's the same thing. You have as much a responsibility to learn to work hard as a young man does. Guess what? Life is work, okay? It's work. Invest in an advanced education. If you need to get some schooling, get some schooling. Increase your income through some financial investments. Maybe it's some intellectual properties or income gained through supply and demand. And I don't really suggest this for entry-level 20-somethings. You know what you need to learn to do? First of all, just punch a clock and work hard and stop looking for a shortcut. But as you get older, you can figure out other opportunities, and there's other ways to, by the way, not substitute for working, but supplement working. Okay, you don't substitute going to work every day. You supplement going to work every day. And so a lot of times people will do a few things on the side. They make little chunks of money. Boom, this is great. I'll just quit my job and do these little things. Those things are great for extra income, but they're not great or consistent enough to do as a living. Don't look for a shortcut. Just set the alarm. Get up bright and early. And go to work, all right? Is there any way to use the skills you now possess to increase your income by broadening their application? Again, within your business, can you branch into a related business that would increase earning potential of the work you're already doing? Should you go into business for yourself instead of working for someone else? And by the way, again, I would say be very cautious about doing that until, listen, what I always say to this, people that want to talk about doing that, I'll say this, prove the model first. Don't quit your job. Prove the model by doing both for a while until you can show that you can sustain income and then quit your job. Too many guys, like I said, dabble with a few things on the side. A couple of them turn out pretty good. Boom, I'm going to quit my job. Listen, you're young. Work both. Do both, all right? That's how you get ahead in life. That's how you build a financial foundation, okay? And then in the investment of your money, and there's some other things. Most of you don't have any, so I'm not going to go into that right now. You're not going to have for a while, okay? And that's fine. That's all right. Do you now possess or could you produce or develop something that could be copyrighted or patented? And again, this isn't to replace work. This is to supplement work, something that's marketable. How about this? Look for opportunities to make money as a middleman. What's in demand? Could you become a supplier, a middleman? We're talking about buying and selling. We're talking about capitalism. That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad word. Okay? And by the way, is it financially feasible? And again, this isn't something a lot of times to quit your job over, but it's ways to generate some extra income. And so take an honest look, gentlemen, and sit down. And by the way, sit down with your wife and figure this thing out. What's the income coming in? And then do we need to increase that income that's coming in? And these are some of the suggestions on how to do that. Now, number two, as you're looking back to 2016, planning for 2017, review your financial output, okay? What is going out. All right, let me give you the order to do this, okay? Number one, the first thing you ought to look and review as far as output is your 2016 giving, okay? Have you tithed in 2016? Have on top of the tithes you give offerings. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that they may be meet mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Let me tell you this. Everybody in here tithed last year. You all tithed. Okay? You may not have tithed to the church, but God got what's his. And he'll get it this year too. Not only will he get it, you get robbed of the blessings you could have got if you'd have brought it and put it in the offering plate. And what I'm saying is, we're crazy. This craziness. Now, I want you to really listen to me. This is not to benefit Jerry Ross. I am not self-serving. I'm going to get the same salary no matter what the income is here at the church. Do you understand that? Okay? Now, listen to what I'm going to say. I am teaching this for your benefit. We need every family at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to decide, nail it down. I mean, before you leave here tonight, you nail it down. We are bringing, first day of the week, our tithes and our offerings, and we're going to be faithful in this matter and stop robbing the Lord. Because, folks, listen to me, I can give you a lot of different things, and they're all good ideas, and a lot of them will work, but if you are cursed with a curse, God will see to it that no matter what you try, it doesn't work out. And so, review your 2016 giving. You know, tithes and offerings. How about this matter of the poor? He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he shall give will he pay him again. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. And by the way, you don't rob tithes and offerings to help somebody that's poor. But you know what? Occasionally, God's going to put somebody across your path that has a genuine need. And the tenderness of your heart towards their need is going to reflect the tenderness of God's heart towards your need. And so, you know what? That's a good Bible principle. How about Christian brothers in need? Distributing to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them who are of the household of faith. And you know what? I think one of the reasons we have a church family is so that we can watch out for each other. Now listen to what I'm going to say. All right, your brothers and sisters are not going to be so inclined to help you out financially if you will not work. Nor are they responsible to help you out if you will not work. All right, they're not obligated in any. We're talking about, remember what I said, unusual things that come, financial catastrophe, something unusual that happens in somebody's life. We ought to be watching that. And you know what? We ought to be tenderhearted to follow the Holy Spirit. You know what? He's the one that will dictate and help you to know when you should do that, how much you should do, and you know what? You ought to be tender to that. I found out that the Holy Spirit's always not shy about tapping my shoulder, tapping my heart, and pointing me to do something. And you know what? I think right there, it's a test. The Lord's saying, if you won't help them out, when you come later on, expect that person's face to come to mind while you're trying to pray and ask me for some help along the way too. So this is not, I want to say this again, this is not the preacher telling the congregation this so that people who will not work will come in here, join a church, and sit around saying, everybody's supposed to take care of me. We've already covered the importance of a biblical work ethic, okay? But you, number one, we're talking about output. We've looked at income. By the way, write it down. Take the time. This takes time. Write it down. I think it'd be good for a lot of you to, on a weekly basis for the next several months, just take inventory and write down every bit of income that comes into your life. By the way, it'll make you more thankful, amen? And then examine the output. The first output that ought to go out is this matter of it's the first fruits, is the tithes and the offering. Don't leave it for last. If I can afford it, it goes first. That way, guess what? You always afford it. Next, pay for your necessities, okay? Pay for your necessities. But godliness with contentment is great gain. 1 Timothy 6, for we brought nothing to this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. That is necessities, all right? Pay for the necessities. List all of your monthly bills that you're now paying, all right? List all your monthly bills, okay? I keep a calendar, and I have written the dates on that calendar every single month, what bill is due and how much is due, and I keep it ahead. And every month as a bill comes in, first thing I do is open it up. I write it an appropriate date. I know I got to pay it by that time. I can look at every month and know how much money is going to go out as far as my regular monthly bills. I can't factor things that I can't factor, okay? There always are some, and there's sometimes there's things that come out It happened that I wasn't counting on. There's some months where I've got some of our bills we pay annually on insurance and stuff. Sometimes we pay semi-annually. Some of you pay quarterly on some things. But if you need to have that written down so you see what's coming up ahead, you can look into the next month and know I'm going to need this much output to get through this next month. Make sure you look at your income and factor that in. But pay your monthly bills. Pay them. And then learn to live by a budget. Separate your needs from your wants. Preacher, the problem is I've calculated the income. Now I've got all these monthly bills and I've written down and there's more going out that's coming in. And so I'm in a deficit situation. All right? Eliminate all the bills that you can that are not necessities. Okay? I'm going to shock some of you. A cell phone is not a necessity. If somebody calls the church and leaves a cell phone number, asking me to call them back so that I can come pay their utility bills. They never get a call back, and they're not going to get a bag of groceries. Excuse me. Excuse me. We have convinced ourselves that technology and cell phones, and sometimes cell phone bills up to $150, $200, $250 a month is some kind of a necessity. It's not. TV, cable TV is not a necessity. There's a lot of things that you can cut out. And by the way, your life would probably be better for it, okay? So if you are having more bills than you have income, you've got to take a list of that and say, watch this. What are the needs? Food is a need. Shelter is a need. Heat, electricity is a need. Okay? I don't know. There are probably a few generations back would argue that one, amen. I mean, you got to have water. I get it. But that's the needs. You know what? I hate monthly bills. I eliminate down to the smallest number of monthly bills that I possibly have to pay. You know, because I hate them. Okay? I don't like the little things that come in the mail that have a clear window in. I don't like them. I don't want to see very many of them. Some of them are a necessity. But get it down to the necessities, okay? And if you, by the way, I'm not against some of the things I mentioned that you could have extra if your income warrants that kind of output. If it doesn't, then you've got to eliminate some output, okay? Now, look at every bill that you cannot eliminate and ask this question. How can this bill be reduced? Okay? Then you get on the phone and you call every company and you ask them that's sending you a regular monthly bill. How in the world can I reduce this bill? If you do not have enough income to pay that output, you've got to start negotiating. You've got to start talking. You've got to start figuring out some things as far as what you can do to reduce your monthly bill. Eliminate the frills, okay? If you have a signed contract, honor that contract, okay? But do not extend any contract that is not a necessity until you're out of debt and you're in a positive financial flow situation. Consider raising the deductible on your insurances. There's all kinds of things that you can, you know, talk to everybody and say, I don't like what I'm paying. I can't continue to pay this amount. How can I get this lowered? Let's talk. They want to keep your business. And there's a lot of people that will work with you. Now, raising deductible on insurance, you know, you need to, I understand that could be a two-edged sword. You need to be careful about that as far as going too far on that. But at the same time, boy, I'm going to tell you, folks, health insurance and health is where, I mean, we're being robbed in the daylight, okay? We're just being robbed in the daylight, okay? And so, review your 2016 giving, all right? Am I doing that properly? That'll be the first output. Now, the next thing I ought to be writing checks for is necessities, all right? Now, thirdly, properly manage and distribute the abundance. All right, now that's what you want to get to. You got to work on this. We've got to get to a situation where our income is more than our output. I want to deal at the end of every month with what am I going to do with an abundance, not how am I going to make up a deficit. And that's, you've got to get into that situation, okay? And so now you've done this, you're doing right, the Lord's given you wisdom, God's working some things out, and you get to the point where now you start having an abundance. Let me say this, folks. That's always a good thing. And it's a blessing. But you know what? Also, again, I think God pays close attention to how much of an abundance he can trust us with based on what we do with our abundance. Okay? All right? Listen, you know what? I believe that abundance, a lot of times the Lord gives us an abundance, and I think it ought to be prayerfully distributed. Okay? Sometimes the Lord may give, lay on your heart that brother or sister in Christ. He may give you an opportunity to give an increased gift on a project around here like we are doing with the remodel. Okay? By the way, I would consider what's dearest to the Lord first. All right? Save for depreciating items. I think part of everybody's abundance, you ought to be putting some into savings. Some into savings, okay? If you have a little nest egg into savings, and you can raise deductibles on a lot of things because if something happens, you have the savings to cover the deductible. So isn't it smart to save? Because then it allows you also to decrease the amount of insurance and payments that you're making. You can begin to pay forward on big ticket items. Okay, think about that. If you're going to make a payment, buy something on credit and make a payment, why don't you make a payment instead beforehand to a savings account and just pay cash with it, not have a payment, not have interest. All right? And then there's nothing wrong. By the way, I mean this, and men, there's nothing wrong with, you know what, occasionally treating your wife and treating your family. You know what I found out? God tells me to be content with my wants, but God is a very generous God. And you know what? I like spoiling my kids, and God likes spoiling his kids. I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip as far as from time to time. If there's some abundance and your bills are paid, and it might be just be time to do something for the family, with the family, and treat the wife to something, I'm all for that. But listen, the problem is we're doing all the treating and the spoiling when we don't even have the money to pay the bills. Okay? All right? There's something called a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You can buy them little brown paper bags real cheap. Matter of fact, Walmart will give you the plastic ones. All right? I mean this. You know, I was told the other day, read this, and I said, there's no way that's true. There's no way that's true. The average American is now eating out 7 times a week. 7 times a week. And I fought that. I said, there's no way. That cannot possibly be true. But I got to thinking to myself, when's the last time I seen anybody walk out to go to work with a lunchbox anymore? And I'm just, you know, again, I'm not picking at you. I'm just saying, oh, preacher, I don't know. We just can't seem to make it. Well, if I went out to eat at least once every day, I wouldn't make it either. And you know what? Good night. There's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and a little bag of chips, amen. And you're not going to starve to death and die. And just because all the other guys go out to lunch don't mean you need to. And by the way, you know, stay in the lunchroom, read your Bible, eat your peanut butter and jelly sandwich, all right, and do the right thing. Okay, all right, we're going to move on quickly now. And by the way, that's it. I think sometimes we think, well, you know, this finances. No, here it is. God, the Bible identifies all these things very simply. There is income, and there is output, and then there's the managing of the abundance. And that's the way God wants us to live our lives. We need to have more income than we have output so that we have an abundance. We need to use that abundance wisely. According to the book of Proverbs, we need to say, lay some up for winter, just like the ant. If the ant's smart enough to do it, we ought to be smart enough to do it. So we save some. We also have a generous heart and a tender heart towards the things of God. We also, you know what, love our family and want to do some things for our family. And nothing in the world wrong with any of that. But that's the goal. Say, preacher, why is it then that the average America have so much time, hard time getting into that situation? Because of what's called stewardship complications. Stewardship complications. We human beings can take a very simple plan and we can sure complicate it. And how do we do this? We do it by getting into debt. This is how we complicate God's simple plan. We get into debt. And so this money that's going in that ought to just be going out for the necessities, all of a sudden, this money that's going in that ought to be used for increased opportunities, for generosity to God's work, and a way to take care of our family and enjoy life. And God wants us to do those things. So many times, that little bit of extra is being taken to pay off this and pay off that and pay off this. And so, listen, if you have gotten yourself into that type of a situation where you have debt, then let's take 2017 and let's just prove to God, Lord, with your help, I'm going to do everything I can to as quickly as possible eliminate the debt in our life so that we can get back into a positive flow situation. Listen, you need to pay back borrowed money. But while you're doing that, you're paying interest on borrowed money. And that's part of the stewardship complications, and that seems to be the major one. Let me tell you something else. Impulse buying is a stewardship complication. When you go to the store and when you go shopping, make out a list. You know what? They have something in every store called end caps. Y'all know what end caps are? End caps are the end of every aisle where they show you something that you cannot believe how cheap you can get. And it's not on your list. But man, is that neat? Well, it's neat if you can afford it. But even if you can afford it, do you really need it? And there's just everybody's looking off for it. Listen, the whole world is after your little abundance. I mean, folks, it's hard to just have anything left over. And the whole world wants it. And so you've got to be careful in this matter of impulse buying, unwise spending. By the way, you know what's getting a lot of that? The devourer. Because we're not tithing. Because we still aren't doing that. We still haven't got it nailed down. So God will unleash, he'll break down the hedge of protection, and we've got demonic devourers coming into our life, eating away at the abundance. And occasionally, folks, listen, this happens to people that tithe, the people that don't tithe. Sometimes we have something called a calamity that comes into our life. And you know what? It's an unexpected, unforeseen financial setback that is nothing that we caused, nothing that we wanted. It just happened. And you know what? Okay. You know what? Take a breath. How are we going to deal with this? Well, preacher, what do you do about these type of things that happen, okay? Well, first of all, let's kind of go down through, and I've kind of listed the stewardship complications, all right? Borrowing money. Now I got to pay it back, and I got to pay interest. Impulse buying. I got to turn that off. Unwise spending, where I'm just not, you know, folks, listen to me. Price check, okay? Be careful. Sometimes what we do is we buy, it's not always the wisest thing. You need something, it's not always the wisest thing to buy the cheapest. Have you done that? I've done it before. I remember the first time that I bought a screen door for our house. You know what I did? I went to the store because I'm a cheapskate. I wanted the absolute cheapest one I could possibly buy. And I bought the cheapest one. 6 months later, I bought a middle one. Because in 6 months, the cheapest one was destroyed. And what I'm saying is, I'm not saying you always ought to buy the cheapest, but you know what? You don't always have to buy the top of the line most expensive one either. And so you just try to do wise spending there. All right, I got to hurry out, okay? So we're going to tackle these things. We've got borrowed money. We're paying back interest. We got to eliminate impulse buying. We got to be wise in what we do spend. We've got to make sure we're doing right by God, so the devourer. And you know what? Occasionally, every one of us is going to have a calamity, something that's unexpected comes into our life. That, by the way, I believe you're going to see this. God sends to test our faith. God sends some things so that we can discover the power of prayer. Amen. Sometimes God wants us in need, so we'll get us back on our knees. He doesn't want us to get this self-sufficient attitude where I've got this all figured out, now I don't need God. Sometimes God will send something into our lives. Okay, so what do we do about this list of stewardship complications, all right? First of all, let's take care of this matter of debt, okay? Because that's hurting a lot of people. What is debt, preacher? Debt is a condition caused by choosing to operate on borrowed money. Debt is a condition caused by choosing to operate on borrowed money. Now, if you're in debt, I'm going to encourage you to attack your debt in 2017. Attack it, okay? I would begin to aggressively, as much as possible, pay back borrowed money. And I list all of your debts. And by the way, you can do this on a piece of paper. And you can say, take a look at it and say, how do I eliminate those debts? My dad taught this for years. There's been other good men, financial men, that have taught this. He said, you know what? What you ought to do is look at the bill that you owe the least on and get that paid off. But then that is an abundance. You take that and you put it to the next bill and start paying that one off. I will tell you this. I would add to that, that's the bill that you probably ought to target isn't always the smallest one. Sometimes it's the highest interest rate one, okay? Because that's taking more of your money than you understand. But get a plan. Prioritize what we're going to pay off. A preacher, I don't even think we can do it in 2017. Well, if you're not going to be any better shape in 2018 if you don't at least attack it. And by the way, make it a matter of prayer. Say, God, I'm going to do everything I can. And you know what? Sometimes we need to confess foolishness is foolishness and lack of wisdom is lack of wisdom and say, God, you know what? Help me Lord, I'm going to do everything I can, and I'm asking for some mercy here. I'm asking for some grace. You know what I found out? And I've watched this, and I've listened to testimonies, hundreds of testimonies of people that just said, I'm going to get serious about this, and they'll begin to come. If they do it and stick with it, they begin to come and say, you know what? God blessed us in an unexpected way we didn't see coming. We were able to, we had an unexpected chunk. By the way, what are you going to do with it now? Okay, if you're asking God to help you pay off debt, and all of a sudden $300 comes that you didn't expect to come, what are you going to do with it? Because you know what? It could be $3,000 next time, but God wants to see what you're doing with the $300. By the way, it might be $30, so he can maybe see whether or not he wants to invest $300. And so you know what? You got to get serious about it. You got to follow through with it, okay? And so decide to attack that. You say, preacher, it's going to take me forever. Well, how about this? Sell anything you possibly can that was purchased on credit and pay off as much of the debt as possible if you possibly can. I don't have time to teach Luke 16, the first 8 verses, but there was the parable of the unjust steward. You know what? He made bad financial decisions. And you know what the boss man said? I'm coming and we're going to meet. We're going to figure out where we're at. You know what he did? He went and settled up what he could, where he could, how he could, because he was worried he was going to lose his stewardship. And sometimes you just have to take it on the chin a little bit. You may just have to lose out on that deal a little bit. But you know what? Get as much of that debt taken care of as possible. Target the smallest amount, paying everything extra you can towards the debt. All extra money paid each month goes towards the principal of the loan. You're wise to be able to, don't just pay what's owed. Add a little bit if you can on the principal. It's amazing what that will do on your mortgage and other bills. When the bill is paid off, take the amount you were paying on that debt and apply it to the next smallest debt. When that debt is paid off, you continue this, take the both amounts, put it on the next bill, continue to your debt free. But listen to me, while you're doing that, do not borrow any more money. That's insanity. You're working on reducing debt and you get 2 or 3 bills paid off and there's just this little devil that sits on your shoulder saying, you know what, we paid off that, we don't have those payments anymore, and you know we've been wanting, stop. You're going to end up back where you were, okay, so don't borrow any more money. I would give the advice to everybody in here this, and you know what, I know sometimes it's tough with family, but I'm telling you, I'm going to give this advice and stick to it. I do not think you ought to co-sign a loan for anyone. I don't think you ought to co-sign a loan for anyone, okay? Now, I know parents, sometimes you have to make these decisions, but you be careful because you're putting your financial situation at risk. If that son or that daughter of yours decides to default on that, that now is your debt. Not only has that become your debt, but that causes family pressure and family issues, okay? And be careful about co-signing for someone else. Again, I'm not trying to play God. I'm just giving you good advice. Get rid of credit cards, okay? Instead, if absolutely necessary, use a debit card instead. I've got to hurry up. Number 2, paying interest on borrowed money. Again, call your creditors. Seek interest rate reduction. Call them up. Talk to them. Seek interest rate reduction. If possible, switch balances of high interest credit cards to low interest credit cards. Be careful, be careful, be careful. If this debt consolidation thing sounds too good to be true, trust me, it's too good to be true. Be careful what you get talked into in this process. Pay extra on your house payment, designate it to go to the principal. That's going to eliminate oftentimes years on the end of your loan, okay? And I'm talking about just adding $50, $75, $100 on the principal every month. A lot of times you can take 3, 4, 5 years of payments off the end of your loan. Beware of credit consolidation. I've already mentioned that. Be careful of second mortgages, okay, folks? You know, it's kind of like the man that was having financial problems, and he walks in and he tells all of his family, I'm going to take you all out to eat. I'm celebrating. They said, why? He said, I borrowed enough money to get out of debt. All right. All right. You'd be surprised how many people get to that place. Number 3, eliminate impulse buying. Impulse buying is an addiction. You can't trust an addict. Allow yourself a set amount of spending money per week. Pay cash for everything. Cut up your credit cards. Do not look at advertisements. Do not look at advertisements sent in the mail. Do not look at advertisements sent in the mail. If you buy the Sunday paper, as soon as you buy it, before you leave the store, reach into the middle of it and take all those ads and throw it in the trash can in the gas station where you bought the newspaper, all right? I do not trust you. You're an addict, all right? Throw them in the trash immediately, okay? Reduce your trips to town. Okay, anytime me and my wife go to Terre Haute, I know one thing's going to happen. I'm going to spend money. That's why I only take her twice a year. Twice a year is all we'll. And by the way, I'm fine with that. But I know that if I... Let me reword that, all right? I'm fine with the idea that when I go to town, I'm going to spend some money, okay? But I also need to be aware that when I go to town, I'm going to spend some money, okay? You know what, ladies, you'd be surprised how much money you would save if you decided to do your shopping, grocery shopping, every other week instead of every week. And nobody in here needs to go to Walmart every day. In fact, I don't know if you need to go twice a year to Walmart. If you're going to town, you're going to spend some money. Okay, listen, I really mean this. If you're trying to fill some hole, and the only way you can find temporary happiness is to buy stuff, then you need to, listen, I'm not mad at you, but you need to address what the issue is in your life. Okay, because that's not where joy comes from. And there's a joy that's available from the Lord that has nothing to do with the only way I can feel good about myself is go spend money on myself. And by the way, if that's worked, then you would need to do it the next day or the next day or the next day. And when I talk about this matter of being an addict, I am not kidding. It's almost the same type of thing as a drug that gives you a temporary this. But you know what? When that wore out, you got to go do it. Stop. I mean, honestly, I think you ought to really get along with the Lord and take a look at this thing and say, you know what, Lord, I'm trying to fill something in my heart with things that I don't think you ever intended to be filled with things. And so, you know, there's a lot of things you can do for people, and a lot of ways you can serve the Lord that I think would fill that thing, give you true happiness, okay? Okay, shop from a list. Go only to stores that are necessary to purchase wisely the things on your list. And you can also go to Rural King Tractor Supply Company and Gander Mountain, all right? Do not just ask, can I afford it? Also ask, can I do without it? Not, can I afford it? Say, could I really do without that? Eliminate unwise spending. Price check all items before purchasing. Clip coupons. You know what? You'd be surprised how many ladies still do that and save a lot of money. Make sure you know the full price before making a purchase or a commitment. How come something says it's this much, and when I get up to the to buy it, by the time they want to add on 17 things, it's this month. How come the AT&T commercial said I was only going to pay this month, but when I get my bill, are you okay? Are you tired of that? All right, then tell them you're tired of it, okay? And fight back on it. Push back on it, okay? Be careful of buying something that is inexpensive. I already mentioned this, that will not last. Inferior quality may be cheaper, but will not last. In the long run, it'll make it more expensive when you... Now listen, what I'm doing is this. I'm just saying, okay, this is a lot of information. And there's a lot of things I gotta quit. There's a lot of other things, little things. But let's just summarize. What are we going to do? How are we going to organize this? What are we going to do? We're going to figure out on paper what our income is. We're going to figure out what our output is. And then we're going to properly evaluate that. Okay, is this larger than this? If it's not, what do I got to do on the income side to increase it? And what do I have to do on the output side to diminish it? Because I want to get in a positive flow situation where I have some abundance at the end of every month. Therefore, I'm in a position where I can help somebody. I'm in a position where I can be a blessing. I'm in a position where I can take a little better care of my family. Okay? That's what you want to get in that situation. Take a look. Where is all this going? If some of these stewardship complications... You've made the mistakes. Folks, if you made the mistakes, you made the mistakes. Listen, nobody's mad at you. Most everybody in this room could stand up and testify right now and say, let me tell you something really dumb I did financially. But you know what? Don't keep making the mistakes. Let's start focusing on them, fixing them, get ourselves in a situation so that by the end of 2017, you know what? We can feel good about where we're at financially. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'll help us, dear God. I think about the Egyptians, Lord, and when they wanted to quiet down the Israelites concerning their desire to serve the Lord, they just took away their straw and made them work harder and paid them less and required more. And I see the world doing the same thing. And Lord, we have to, as Christians, really, really be careful. And the culture has just created such a toxic environment, the government. Good night. I can't believe our government's got to the point where it's taking from its citizens the amount of taxes, and there's so many things that's working against young families and young couples. And Lord, we need to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help each and every one of us to decide, I'm going to take control of our financial situation, and we're going to get on our knees, and we're going to start basing decisions on Bible principles and not just the way that everybody in the world does it. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll use this for our help here, Lord. And I believe as the churches help, and then, dear God, oh my goodness sakes, the opportunity for reaching souls increases, and the amount of money and cash flow that goes into missions and all kinds of things, Lord. It's just right to do this right. So I pray that you'd help us in Jesus' name.